Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father
Hallelujah.
God. Glory be to God forevermore.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Father God, we love, thank you, and praise you. Thank you, Father God, this morning for another opportunity to gather around your word with like believers. I thank you, Holy Ghost, sir. We ask you to unveil and reveal truth to us this morning. We ask you, sir, to unveil the word to us. And I thank you, Father God, we will walk in the light that we already have, but Father God, I thank you that the new light we'll continue to walk in and meditate upon. We won't just take it lightly and throw it away and allow Satan to steal it from us, but we'll keep it and guard it and protect it, Father God. And I, Holy Ghost, I just ask you to make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, bringing forth truth this morning, not only for the congregation, but also for myself, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, I thank you for it. And everybody that was in agreement with it said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Earl, for that. Amen. I was waiting for it. Knew we needed it. Amen. Nope. You have to sit down, ma'am. Ushers. Ushers.
Calling for backup. Well, Pastor, before he gets into the Word of God, hallelujah, what a sweet spirit we have inside the church
right.
This morning.
I bet you're awake.
Yes, we are all awake. Can we have all of the fathers that are here today please stand? We have a special gift for you. Can we just honor these fathers? They have done so much. Hallelujah. Stand on up, fathers. Glory to God. We have the ushers handing you guys something. Hallelujah. Keep on standing. Amen. We want to say thank you. Thank God for fathers. Amen. That's raised children and... We do have a special cup that we made specially for you. It says, hashtag unmovable. You guys are unmovable, amen? So thank you, fathers. They're handing that out pretty quick. Glory to God.
Hey, do not let your wives steal that from you.
Or your daughters.
Yes, or your daughters. It's going to happen, I'm telling you right now. Prepare yourselves mentally for this.
Yes.
Put it down, Chelsea. I'm going to need somebody to break her fingers. No, I'm playing. Amen. Amen.
What happened to the red roses? Why are you getting red roses?
I'm not even going to lie, Earl. I almost bought red roses. I really did. I was this close to buying flowers for all the men this morning. I should have did it. But I figured somebody had been mad, been like, Rose, what's this? They probably wouldn't have got my sense of humor, so I was like, everybody probably doesn't know me, so I probably better not do that. But I know what I'm getting you next year.
Just for Earl.
Yep, just for Earl. Everybody else is getting something cool. Earl's getting a dozen roses. If you would turn over to Ephesians 21, please. Actually, you ain't got to turn there. Go over to Romans 4, 17, please. Amen. I already prayed, didn't I? Didn't
yes,
I pray? Amen. If you was not here Wednesday, I would suggest that you get the, I want to say tape, but we don't do that anymore.
Recording,
that's a good way to say it. Get the recording. Pastor Chelsea talked about unity.
Amen.
And it was excellent. It really was.
Amen.
It was excellent. I would really advise you to get that and listen to it. Amen.
Amen.
And how many was y'all here? That's not good English. It was to me, but how many of y'all were here last Sunday? Y'all remember talking about time and faith and faith and time? I believe we're going to go over a little bit of that again this morning. So we're just going to kind of go after it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Romans 4:17. I'm going to read it out of the Passion first. It says, I'll start about verse 16. The promise depends on faith so that it can be expected as a grace gift and now extends to all the descendants of Abraham. This promise is not only meant for those who obey the law, but also though to those who enter into the faith of Abraham, the father of us all. That's what the scripture means when it says, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our example and father, for it in God's presence he believed that God can raise the dead and call into being those things that don't even exist. What?
Yes.
That don't even exist yet.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That don't even exist yet. Amen. Against all odds, amen. Hallelujah. Keep going. All right, I'm just going to talk for a minute, get that situated. Hallelujah. We'll get it figured out in a moment. Amen. What's that?
Sounds better?
All right. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless. How many ever had something look hopeless?
Amen.
Hopeless is, I looked it up in the Noah Webster 1828, it's having no expectation of that which is desirable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Having no expectation, and that's hope, right? Hope is an earnest expectation, correct?
Yes, sir.
So that's having, hopeless is having no expectation of that which is desirable.
Yeah, that's good. Come on.
Amen. Yes, sir.
So to say you're hopeless means you're out of faith.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
I'll let you study that one out. It's a very good study because you'll get a lot out of that. We ain't got time. We don't have, yes. No, we don't. All right. Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He expected the situation to fulfill it. He expected the world to fulfill it. The doctor to fulfill it.
No, sir.
The bank to fulfill it.
No, sir.
His credit score to fulfill it.
No, sir.
His job to fulfill it.
No.
His wife to fulfill it.
No.
His kids to fulfill it. His college education to fulfill it?
No, sir.
It's funny how we get our eyes off God so easily and get it onto everything else that fast. That fast sometimes. Man, we got a long ways to go. All right. To fulfill it. He took God at his
word. Amen.
That's why it's very important. You should also be a man of your word. Y'all remember when I told y'all the story about buying my younger brother's Chevy truck?
Yes.
So I bought this truck. Shouldn't have bought it. Negative. Negative. Shouldn't have bought it. I mean, it ran really good. Like, it was just, it was great. It ran, but I shouldn't have bought it.
Amen.
So I told my brother, I said, yeah, I'll buy it. Didn't even ask God. I just told Levi, I said, yeah, I'll buy it. And then I got to thinking about it. I was like, I didn't even ask God if I should buy it. You ask God that kind of stuff? Well, yeah, because actually he knows better about the vehicles than I do because I'm not a mechanic.
Yeah.
Just going to be honest with you right now. And so he actually knows the situations or whatever's going on in the background better than I do because I don't know. I'm new to that situation. But yet he does know, so I'm going to ask the one that does know instead of myself because I don't know. And so after I already said yes, I said, I didn't even ask God if I should have bought that. And I go, God, should I buy this truck? He goes, no. So guess what I did? Called my younger brother up and said, I can't buy it.
No, sir.
No, I didn't. I bought the truck. Because I told him I'd buy it. Even though it did hurt me. Financially a little bit. I actually lost money on the truck. But yet I told him I'll buy it. And then I asked God, he said, don't. No, I shouldn't buy it. But yet I told him I'd already do it. And so to be a man of my word, I bought it. If you really can't be a man of your word, you really think your faith is going to work? That's something else you really need to think about. Especially whenever if you're late. Oh, okay. Oh, poke your neighbor real fast. Say, please don't get mad this morning. We won't say it. Oh, okay. If you're late, you know you're not a man of your word. Because if you told somebody you was going to be there at 10 o'clock and you show up at 10:01. That's another sermon in itself. Hallelujah. Whoo, didn't know we was going to get off in it that fast. All right. Y'all okay? Smile. Nobody will know we're talking to you. Amen. But I'm okay. Where are we at? He took God at his word. Amen. And as a result, say a result.
Result.
See, because he took God at his word, results came.
Yes, sir.
See, when you don't take God at his word, results will still come, but not the ones you're wanting.
Yes, sir.
What, really, Chelsea? Your phone's going off?
This is your phone.
Nuh-uh, that's yours. Not mine, it's hers, I ain't lying. I'm lying, okay, it's my phone, whatever. He took God at his word. And as a result, he became. He became. He became. See, when you take God at his word, you'll become. When you take God at his word, you'll become. Amen. Over, that's the word I was looking for. Yeah. In one of these, it says undermined, but I don't know where it's at.
Nineteen.
Thank you. In spite of being nearly 100, yes, in spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong. Amen. His faith was so strong that it could not be what?
Undermined.
I looked that up. I was curious. Looked it up in the Noah Webster, 1828. Guess what that undermine means? It means having hopeless. It's having the foundation removed. Having the foundation removed. That's what undermine means.
Amen. Come on, let's go.
So how many times have we allowed a situation or somebody talking to just take the foundation right out from underneath us from what we're believing for? Well, I know somebody that was believing God for the same thing, and they're still believing for it, and it was 30 years ago. Oh. Well, what is what they're believing for and you got anything to do with anything? They might think they're believing, but they really might not be. You don't know. You don't live with them 24/7. You do what you're supposed to do. Don't worry about everybody else and what they're doing. First off, I heard somebody say a long time ago that if we took as much care of ourselves as we did about everybody else, we would be perfect. I said, man, I guess I need to shut my mouth. Learned that a long time ago. I really did. And I've been trying to practice it ever since. I really have. Because it's true. If I focused on myself as much as I actually focused on everybody else, I would be perfect. And why would I want to spend a lot of my time focusing on you and what you're doing wrong?
Yeah.
What for? Yeah. Why I want to fix myself. That way my faith will grow and get stronger and stronger. Why do I want to focus on you and talk about why you're weak or why you're doing this or why you're doing that? Because that's going to hinder my faith, and so that's going to weaken my faith. And so then my faith ain't going to get stronger like I'm wanting. It's going to hinder my faith. And so I'm doing myself a disservice by running my mouth. And, you know, as much as we really love talking about it, we might as well just put it out there. That's also talking about everybody that's in authority. Well, I don't agree with them. I don't either. But I'm not going to talk about them. I'm going to pray for them. Because the Word of God says to pray for all who's in authority. Because if you don't start doing that and you keep running your mouth about them, then your faith is truly going to be hindered. And then your faith is not going to work like it's supposed to be working. Then you're going to go off and say, see, that faith stuff doesn't work. But it actually does work. It's just you was on Facebook 30 minutes ago going, see, look at the government, he's retarded. But yet the Word of God says you cannot talk about anyone who's in authority. The Word of God says pray for all who are what? Does it say talk about all who are in authority?
No, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes.
So then can we just take out pieces of the Word of God that we want to work for us? Are you sure? Look, it's not something that we just want to talk about all the time. But if we want to be honest about it and have our faith go to the full potential that we want it at,
amen,
then we might as well start fixing things so that we can get there with it, correct?
Yes.
Is it always going to be easy and when we want to hear it? No. There's a lot of times I'm like, man, really? I have to fix that too? But I adjust. Why? Because I want my faith to continue to work. I don't want lack to enter into my life. I don't want sickness to be able to affect me or my household. That's why. Apparently, we're going to get on faith in time. The time is gone. Believe in faith right now that we're going to get to it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Where are we at? Expectation. That's where we're at. Undermine. It's having the foundation removed.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified real fast. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, speaks of the non-existent things. Say non-existent.
Non-existent.
Things.
Things.
Non-existent.
Non-existent.
Things.
Things.
Say non-existent.
Non-existent.
Things.
Things.
God speaks to them.
God speaks to them.
God speaks to them. The non-existent things.
The non-existent things.
And then you can... Well, we went over it last Sunday. You can write it down. Ephesians 5:1 talks about we're to be imitators of God, correct?
Yes.
And so then what are we supposed to be doing?
Imitating God.
Speaking to non-existent things, correct?
Yes, sir.
That's exactly what Hebrews 11:1 talks about, correct?
Amen.
Yes. All right. Amen. We're all on the same page. Amen. Non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if
already existed. Amen.
See, that's why it never, never fazed Jesus to ask his disciples questions. But it affected Philip and them. What are we going to do? Give them a snack? Jesus already knew. We're about to feed everybody and we're going to have a lot left over.
Amen.
You got to know how to speak faith and stay with it, not allow situations to move you out of it.
Yes, sir.
Because once you got a foundation, you don't need to allow a situation or anyone to come and undermine it and get the foundation out from underneath you. Stay with the foundation and stay on top of it.
Yes,
well, that faith stuff doesn't work. My cousin's uncle had that and he died. Look, I'm sorry that your cousin's uncle died. I really am. But the Word of God says that by his stripes I'm healed. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what happened with your uncle. But I know that by his stripes I am healed. I know that. And so I'm going to stay with that and I'm going to believe that. I don't know if your cousin's uncle believed that or not. There was this one lady. Well, we won't. Okay. But I don't know if your cousin's uncle believed that or not. I can say, hey, I got $1 million in the bank right now. Does that mean I got $1 million in the bank right now? See, I can tell you something all day, but that doesn't mean nothing. People do it all the time.
Amen.
Listen to the news if you don't believe me.
Amen.
See, people talk about something that doesn't exist all the time.
Yes, sir.
See, they're speaking a non-existent thing, hoping you'll get your mouth on it to help them bring it into existence.
Yes, sir.
See, Satan's wanting to use Christians.
Yeah.
He's using a lot of them. And they don't even realize it.
That's good.
Yeah, amen. So we was sitting there. We was in Silsbee, Texas. Mom and Dad started a church up there when I was younger. My younger brother Levi, how old was he? 3, 4, 5. We had an in-ground swimming pool. And, you know, obviously we had to leave the French door shut because my younger brother, he's a baby still. He's able to walk. He's up walking around. So he's 4 or 5 probably. 4 or 5, yeah, 6 maybe, somewhere around in there. And he ended up getting out the door. Somebody left the door open. And he is in the swimming pool. He was he's about as black as the piano. And he was floating on his back like this, and it's like something was holding him up out of the water, pushing him in the middle of his back, holding him up out of the water like this. And you know, once you drown, you go to the bottom.
Right.
You don't float immediately.
Right.
Y'all know that, right?
Yes.
It takes a few days, and then you start floating once you get bloated, right?
Yeah.
But he was floating. And so somebody seen him and just yelled, what'd they yell, Sally or something like that? Guess what? The first things out of my mom's mouth was, oh no, I can't believe it. He's dead. Satan, you can't have my baby. First words out of her mouth. Where'd that come from? A firm foundation. See, the foundation was trying to be undermined. Because of the situation, the foundation really just tried to get blowed up. But she stood up and stood on it and didn't allow the foundation to be moved and said, Satan, you can't have my baby. And y'all have seen my younger brother. He's preached here a few times. My younger sister, her younger daughter, that doctor told her, said, I wouldn't even have her because she's mental and she's not going to be right. You know, something happened in the womb and stuff like that. So she called my mom and she said, we don't believe that. She'll be fine.
That's right.
Amen.
So guess what happened?
Fine.
Exactly. See, once you have a foundation to stand on, you stand. Why get off of the foundation? Why? Why allow what somebody else says to get you off of the foundation that you know works?
Amen.
I've seen the foundation work. Because I've been in Iraq a few times because I remember we was about to go on this one thing. And I said, okay, God, here I come. So I thought I was about to die. I really did. I said, God, this is it. I'm about to come to you right now. Amen. It's rough. Hallelujah. I forgot about it. Amen. Amen. Excuse me. Amen. Amen. Mom woke up a few times, middle of the night, praying. So I didn't die, obviously.
Amen.
Still here today. And there was more than that time that happened. But that was one of the main ones that really stuck out to me. Amen. Amen. But once you get a firm foundation, things that you think might mean something or might try to take away from you, if you allow them to, they will. But if you stay on the word, see, because Abraham, everybody else told him, said, look, there's absolutely no way you and Sarah's going to do this. Y'all are too old now. Everybody we know, y'all been trying this for 50-something years, 60-something years. Y'all can't have a kid. Y'all can't. Y'all been doing this for 60 years now, 70 years now. Y'all really think you're going to have a kid? That's what everybody's telling them. But he took God at his word. He said, all right, if you said I'm going to be the father of many nations, I'm going to be the father of many nations.
Amen. Amen.
And when he said, you're Abraham, he said, I'm Abraham.
Yes.
I am Abraham.
Yes, sir.
Not Abram. And any time somebody came up and said, hey, Abram, he said, no. Abraham.
Yes.
Father of many nations.
Amen.
Hey, Abram, no. You got me confused. Abraham.
Amen.
Father of many nations.
Amen.
See, when somebody comes up and tries to say something that's contrary to what the Word of God says, negative. Negative. It's not lack. I don't live in lack and poverty.
Amen.
Fear does not run my house. Fear doesn't run my house. I'm telling you right now, there's peace and joy in my house.
Yes. Amen.
I dated this girl a long time ago. I don't know why I did, because she is crazy as an outhouse rat. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But she told me one day, she said, I don't like going to your parents' house. It's too peaceful. That should have been a light bulb. She's crazy.
Amen.
Right? Light bulb should have went off. It took me a month or so to figure it out, apparently, but we got there. Y'all remember, excuse me. R.W. Shambach, y'all remember that story with that woman? Her husband had cancer. The husband had cancer, right? And the doctor said he'll be dead in 3 days. And she said, all right, well, let me take him over to R.W. Shambach's tent revival. Doctor told him no, told her no. And so she stole her husband out of the hospital. Some of us men wouldn't make it with if it wasn't for our wives. Let's just be honest. And so she actually wrapped him up and took him out the exit, down the stairs, and took him out of the hospital without the doctor knowing.
Uh-huh.
Stole him out of the hospital and left. And it took her a day to get there. And all the time, he had cancer. And you know the situation looks bad. Because the doctor just told you your husband's is going to die in 3 days.
Yes.
A day of it, you just spent driving.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And everything around you said he's dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's no life about him. Because she wasn't a bigger woman. She was a smaller woman. And she just wrapped him up in the blanket and threw him over her shoulder. So he's real little. Like, I think he weighed 80 pounds. That's little. Cancer just ate him up. And so R.W. Shambach said he was preaching up on the stage, and he said he seen the doors open in the back, and the lady come walking in, had something over her shoulder, and came walking down the aisle, and he was like, what is going on, you know? Because you start questioning things, you're like, uh-oh, he's about to jump off. Like, am I about to have to fight somebody, you know? Because you don't know, you know? And so that lady came walking up there and said that she put her husband down and opened it, and he said it was the worst stench he ever smelled. But she looked at R.W. Shambach and said, do what God called you to do.
Amen.
And so he cursed that cancer, commanded it to die. Guess what she did? Picked him back up, got back in the car, went right back to the hospital. Didn't miss a beat. A few months later, I think it's about 6 months later, R.W. Shambach was preaching at another meeting. He got done. He was leaving the stage, and this guy, about 6'4", he said, like 200 and something pounds, picked him up and was hugging him. He said, put me down. He's like, you don't know who I am, do you? He's like, no. He's like, I was that guy that had cancer. He said, pick me up. But Tom said that he had to die. But faith said, do what God called you to do. Why? Because of the foundation.
Yes, sir.
This will always give you a firm foundation. Anything that a doctor or anybody else says, the foundation is always shaky. And it's very questionable. And it'll end up falling down and taking you out. I said it'll end up crumbling, falling down, and taking you out. It will. Especially when you start asking questions like, well, what do I need to get my credit score at? What else do I need to do? What do I need to do for this? Look, now understand this, and I'm not being mean. I know that there are times when we say, well, you know, we need to have wisdom and things like that. I understand that. But, you know, some of us kind of take that whole wisdom deal a little too far. I'm just going to be honest with you. All right?
Amen.
Well, yes, be smart about it. But have you asked God a word? Have you asked God anything? Or are you just kind of going off of, well, we need to have wisdom and just using that as a scapegoat?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are y'all okay?
Yes,
are we sure?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Can y'all smile, please? There it is. All right. And we're back. Amen. What was we talking about? What was we talking about? Foundations. There you go. Amen. Foundations. Yeah. Have a good foundation. You know, for real. Because if you don't have a foundation, it is going to fall apart. It is. You know, you can't build a two-story house on a one-story foundation. You can't. You'll have to dig up the foundation and do something different with it. Sturdy it up, thicken it up to be able to put another story on top of one story. I mean, you can do it, but over time, you're going to have a problem. Against all odds, we need to you know, put that in our, write that, underline that, do something with that. Against all odds. Because everything in the world, Satan wants to make sure that it's against us and the odds are against us. But everything in the Word of God says the odds are for you.
Amen.
Regardless of everything that that says. Because if we start running off of all of our physical senses, we shouldn't do anything off of our physical senses. We should not ever make any decision off of our physical senses. Amen. We shouldn't ever make any decision off of our physical senses. We shouldn't ever make a decision off of our physical senses. We should never make a decision off of our physical senses. Any of our decisions should be made off of the Word of God. Y'all know that, right? Turn over to 11:11. Okay, I'll tell you the book. Hebrew. I love it. Hebrews 11. Say amen when you get there, please. Amen. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Classic. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. What's a title deed?
Ownership.
Belongs to you. That means it's not the banks. It's not the people you got the loan through. It's not the people that used to own it. It's yours. It belongs to you. This is yours. It's the title deed. And that's exactly the way we need to look at it whenever we believe in God for something.
Yes, sir.
So if we're believing God for a house, we need to believe God like, okay, God, we're believing God for this house. We pray about it. We're in agreement about it. We pray about it. We say, okay, amen. As soon as we say amen, we believe we have the title deed for that house. Well, we don't have it. Well, now you're going off of physical senses once again, because now you're going off of what you can see.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all all right? Okay. The title deed of the things we hope for being the proof of what?
Things we do not see.
Proof of things we do not what?
See.
Well, I'm not going to believe it until I can see it. Well, why are you going to believe for something that you can see? You don't need to believe for it then, because you can see it. That's backwards. Why are we going to believe for something that we have because now we already have it? So why are we trying to believe for it? That don't make any sense. The proof, and it's the proof. What's proof? Well, I know this, Ricky. I've read it before. Good. Me too. I've actually read it quite a few times. But I'm not going to lie to you. Every time I read this, I can't tell you how much more I get out of this. I can't. Like this, like Romans 4 a while ago. Man, there was some stuff that really just jumped out to me. Amen. But as soon as you read something or we turn to something and you go, well, I've read that before. Well, you just shut off the Holy Ghost or revealing anything else to you. So if you ever get into that position, I'd stop and back up and start looking at myself, because now you're telling yourself that you're the all-knowing. Amen. But moving along, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof. Who created us? Because somebody said, well, how much is really in that one scripture? Look, I really don't know. But I do know the Creator created me. And I also know that the Creator is way smarter than me. And so for me to try to figure out what's all in that is just, why? Because now I'm trying to think on a level that the Creator created me. I really want y'all to try to understand that. Okay, so the God created me. So why do I think that I can think on His level?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Do not see the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as what?
Real fact, what is not revealed to the senses. Amen.
Faith perceiving. as real what? I know I'm going slow this morning, but it's more for me, I think, than y'all. It's good. It's real good. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So regardless if that pain tries to shoot up my leg, that's senses. I don't care what that census says, because the Word of God says I'm healed. Regardless if that pain says that I have, because that's trying to tell me I have a pain. But the Word of God says that I'm healed. So why am I going to try to believe something that my body says over what the Bible says? Or why am I going to try to believe something that the world says, the bank says, the doctor says, over what the Bible says? I mean, that's something we really need to look at. Because doctors, what they do, what? Practice. So why would I listen to somebody that's practicing? Not only that, who created us again? And so then the doctors, who created the doctors? Okay. And so why would I think that the doctor knows more than God? There we go. And so for me, look, nothing against doctors. If you need to go to a doctor, go to a doctor. I've been to a doctor. I've been to a few doctors. They do help us sometimes. Okay? Y'all understand me? I'm serious. If you need to go to a, I'm not talking about not going to a doctor and they're all evil. Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm serious. If you need to, go. Amen. They do help.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes,
amen. But God created us. And so for me to put all of my faith in a doctor instead of God is just, it doesn't make sense to me. Me, Ricky Edwards. Okay?
Yes, sir.
At all. Because faith is the assurance.
Yes.
See, assurance, assurance is, regardless of what you say or what anything looks like, I know it belongs to me.
Amen.
You couldn't talk me out of it. You would have to, for me to say it didn't belong to me, you'd have, okay, let me try to get this out. I'm trying to get it out. If you said, I'm going to beat you with a bat until you die, unless you said it's not yours, I'd say get to beating. Because faith is the assurance of it. And if God says it, then it belongs to me. And faith is the assurance of it. Faith says, okay, God, everything that you said belongs to me is mine. It is mine. It is mine. Look, I don't believe it. Well, you should believe it. Because once again, whenever I moved here, I came here with a vehicle and a Sea-Doo. Got to have a Sea-Doo, right? Oh, and my deer head. Not going to lie to you. Deer head. Had the deer head. Still got the deer head. Not going to get rid of the deer head. Going to get some more deer heads just so y'all understand where we're at with that. Just going to let y'all know where we're at. And they're going in the living room. I got three in there now. I'm trying to get another one. I think she's about to beat me with a bat. But I digressed. So I had a vehicle, deer head, and a Sea-Doo in my clothes. That was it. $500 every 2 weeks. But we're past that now.
Yes, sir.
So you can't tell me that faith does not work. Because first off, me and Chelsea are living evidence that faith does work. Matter of fact, me and Chelsea Say, all glory be to God.
All glory be to God.
Say, all glory be to God.
All glory be to God.
All glory be to God.
All glory be to
God.
All glory be to God.
All glory be to God.
All glory.
All glory.
All glory.
Nothing me and Chelsea did. Nothing at all that me and her did at all. But all glory be to God. I want y'all to understand that. All glory be to God. I want y'all to understand that. All glory. Nothing that me and her did. We're just doing what God asked us to do. That's it. We're just, if He says move, we're trying to move. That's it. And if we miss it, we say, God, we repent. Now help us to adjust and make the step, and we keep moving forward. That's what we do. If we mess up, we mess up. Look, we're not perfect. We understand that. But we understand that, and we don't try to hold ourselves like, hey, we're somebody special. No, we mess up sometimes. Like, I'll tell her I'm sorry quite a bit because I mess up, right? And so we move forward with it. But all glory be to God. Because, like I said, every 2 weeks, $500. But our offering is over that every 2 weeks. All glory be to God. All glory be to God. Hallelujah. I didn't realize that till then. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. See, so we are living evidence of that, yes, sir. Hallelujah. That it does work. And you couldn't convince me that it doesn't. Because we was in the living room over there on Silver Creek whenever the Holy Ghost told her, hey, y'all start giving $20 over your offering. And I looked at her like she lost her mind. Because whenever you're making $500 every 2 weeks and you got kids that just want to eat everything that you own. I'm serious. And so then, I was looking at the situation. My senses were saying, God, you can't do nothing here. But we stepped out in faith. We stepped out in faith. Hallelujah. And God's just been constantly increasing it more and more. It's 11:20. Well, that's why y'all are falling asleep. I get it. Amen. I want y'all to understand, that's got nothing to do with me and Chelsea. It's got everything to do with God. I really want y'all to understand that. It's got nothing to do with me and Chelsea, but everything to do with God. I really want y'all to understand that. Nothing to do with me and her. Everything to do with God. Hallelujah. All glory be to God. Because if it wasn't, then we wouldn't be where we are today.
Yes, sir.
Because we started out at $500 every 2 weeks. And our physical senses said, well, mine did. How, Chelsea? How? How are we going to do this? $20. Back then, I was like, son, $20? Are you sure? Sure that's not the devil talking to you? We're going to have an exorcism in the house right now? But what God was doing was trying to stretch our faith so that He'd be able to get overflow to us. Because, see, tithe doesn't take any faith. Tithe is tithe. But if you ever read, you know, Malachi 3 by verse 8, he said, you robbed me and tithe and what?
Offering.
And so the overflow comes out of offering. And so he was trying to get us into the overflow, and I didn't know it. And so we started getting into the overflow. Don't get me wrong. Tithe, you'll still get some overflow. You will. Amen. Because He'll still rebuke the devourer for your sake. Nothing you own will rot out, will dry up, will break. It'll run as long as you need it to work. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We better stop. Amen. You got anything? Chelsea's got something. Prepare yourself.
Amen. You know what? I really was unctioned by the Holy Spirit that there might be people in this room today that their physical senses are yelling at them of pain, of something going on in your natural body. And when he was telling the story of R.W. Shambach and that woman bringing that man up to the altar with cancer, the Holy Spirit just unctioned in me. There's people in here that their natural senses are screaming at them, are yelling at them, are being louder than what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell them, of reminding them of what Jesus did on the cross and the stripes he took for our healing. I really do believe that we need to call for a healing line. And if that is you, I just want to remind you guys of one thing. When he was telling that story, that lady set her husband down at the altar. And did he pop back up totally healed and hallelujah? No, she believed in faith that when, and she took him up off the altar, back over her shoulder, back out that door and back to the doctor for so he could get healing. But I believe as we're calling up this healing line, and we're going to just pray for you quickly, we're going to be coming up. You guys are going to be coming up in faith, already receiving the word that has been spoken out. And that when we go back, yes, we can have immediate healings. And yes, as we are walking back to our chair, and yes, as we are going back to our homes, we will have immediate healings. Hallelujah. But if it takes a couple of days, we will stand strong on the word that was spoken. Hallelujah. With our faith being strong. Amen. And we will receive our healing. Hallelujah. So glory to God. I'm just going to, if that is you this morning, we just want to open up these altars. Come down with faith. Hallelujah. And Pastor Ricky are going to pray for you. Pastor Ricky and I, hallelujah. Glory to God. I would get on the piano, but I believe that I need to be up here also.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If that is you, if that is... Okay. If that is you and you are having physical pain in your body, then we need to have you come up. And I believe that this is from the Holy Spirit. We don't normally do it this way. So I really do believe that this is the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. They're going to get some music going.
Y'all can step forward.
Thank you, Lord.
Please. Thank you. Amen. If y'all would, out in the audience, if y'all would just pray in tongues, help us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all got some music back there?
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.